We're down to fewer than 6 weeks before Michigan primary elections. Here to update some of the races and other stories as well, we're rejoined by Michigan Public Radio Network Managing Editor Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Mark.
The 8th District candidates have had a few debates and public appearances now. How is the contest between Republicans Mike Bishop and Tom McMillan unfolding?
Well, actually, there was even another candidate forum last night in Howell.
And yes.
I was not at it. I don't want to pretend that I was, but there was plenty of coverage of it. And it played out about the way this race has been playing out, although maybe even a little bit more civilly than a lot of the exchanges that we've seen so far, that like a lot of Republican primaries, that the battle to be the Republican nominee to replace Congressman Mike Bishop, who's retiring, has largely been a race
Rogers.
To the right. I'm sorry, Mike Rogers. Mike Bishop is one of the people
candidates,
running.
Yes.
Thanks. Yes, and it's a race to the right, as primaries, Republican primaries, often are. It's sort of ironic that Mike Bishop is the former state Senate majority leader who was sort of the bete noire to Democratic Governor Jennifer Granholm when she was in office, but Bishop's opponent, State Representative Tom McMillan, is using the few instances of cooperation and deal making between the two of them as sort of the wedge against Bishop. So he, you know, goes back to the 2007 budget debacle and things like that. And Bishop counters with all of these instances of McMillan, who praising what Bishop was doing in the state Senate, being sort of the firewall against Granholm and the Democrats at that point. There's really not a whole lot of policy differences, you know, between them. You know, what we're seeing in as the debates play out, they're both, you know, opposed to the Affordable Care Act, which a Republican candidate basically has to be if they hope to win a primary. They have some subtle differences on what they would do. Both of them apparently came out last night and basically in favor of privatizing the Veterans Administration and finding some alternative to providing healthcare services to veterans, which would be, you know, a pretty, you know, classic Republican position on an issue like that.
Has it become personal between these two? You alluded to the fact that it's been fairly civil so far.
The forum last night was apparently pretty civil, but they're both trying to take each other down a peg, and Mike Rogers has endorsed Mike Bishop, saying that he would be sort of the more credible the more credible congressman. What we're seeing here, and this is playing out in a few races in some respects, is Republican primary voters are kind of being asked to make a choice between having a classic bring home the bacon legislator, someone who will go to Congress and work with adversaries, compromise and make deals for the benefit of the district, usually measured in terms of dollars coming back from DC compared to dollars going out, versus a more of ideological, congressman, someone who's going to take, principled partisan positions on big national issues and things, dealing with security and privacy and taxes.
Is it fair to compare? Is that the dynamic in play in West Michigan between Justin Amash and Brian Ellis?
It is, and it is fair to make the comparison. As a matter of fact, Tom McMillan has called Amash, and they briefly served together in the State House of Representatives, sort of his role model for what a congressman would look like, for what kind of a congressman he would be. And Amash is kind of a controversial Republican. He's part of the libertarian wing of the party that he votes sometimes. Well, for example, that he has made at least one, maybe two votes on abortion-related issues that lost him the right to life endorsement, though he is basically, you know, an anti-abortion Republican. And basically, he made some votes on some defunding Planned Parenthood bills. He voted against them because he thought that they should be more broadly applied. So it was a principled vote on that. And Amash is actually, he's not well loved within the Michigan Republican Conference, the members of Congress from Michigan who go there. And there is even a congressman, a Republican congressman from California, who has donated to the Ellis campaign. And really, you know, giving a campaign donation to the primary opponent of someone in your conference is considered rather un-cricket in congressional circles.
We're talking with Michigan Public Radio Network managing editor Rick Pluta about primary contests so far, congressional primary contests primarily. Where does this Republican drama, the establishment versus Tea Party drama, if you will, where does that leave Michigan Democrats generally?
Well, they are, you know, this is a tough calendar for Democrats, that we're in the midterm elections of a Democratic president's second term in office. Obama's approval ratings are not good. And in these midterms, Republican voters are more likely to get out than Democratic voters just generally. It's one of the reasons why, even though Democrats tend to prevail in these federal elections, and why Democrats keep winning the presidential elections in Michigan, that in these midterms, we keep electing Republican governors, secretaries of state, and attorneys general statewide. And so they're sort of looking at this and hoping that, you know, in the case of the 8th Congressional District, for example, that Tom McMillan is the nominee, because they think it would be easier to run a candidate in the general election against someone who is further to the right, or perceived as being further to the right.
Could Tea Party candidates do better in general? I mean, the memory of the defeat of Congressman Eric Cantor, I think, is still fresh enough on everybody's mind. Could Tea Party candidates do better in general elections than a lot of people think?
Well, you know, it's every election, including the Cantor election, including, you know, the 8th Congressional District, including the Amash Ellis race, that there are so many variables. Predicting political races can be a lot like predicting the economy, where, you know what an economist does. An economist predicts a result, and then explains why he or she is wrong. that the conventional wisdom is that in a primary, a Republican runs to the right and a Democrat runs to the left, and then in the general, they tack to the center. And I mean, what the Cantor race did was it altered the narrative from establishment beating back Tea Party challenges to, hey, sometimes Tea Partiers can still win in this environment. And certainly in a Republican primary, that's the case. Districts are drawn right now, and Michigan is one of the most telling examples of that, to be a very, very partisan. That we have districts that are very Republican, and we have districts that are very Democratic, and very few that, you know, really fall into the competitive category. And so that means that, you know, one, that the winner of the primary probably is the winner of the general election. And to win the primary, it helps to be further to the right or further to the left, depending on what district you're in, as opposed to closer to the center.
Let's not overlook the 8th District Democratic candidates. There are more Democrats than Republicans here. Talk to us about Schertzing, Grettenberger, Darga, and Jeffrey Hank.
Well, originally, Grettenberger, am I saying the name right?
Grettenberger.
Grettenberger, thank you. Thanks for rescuing me. Ms. Grettenberger is a college professor, and she was the only one out there getting ready to run a campaign against Mike Rogers. And then Rogers announced he was retiring, and so these other people jumped in. Ken Darga, former state demographer, he's running as an economically conservative Democrat. He dealt himself a pretty serious blow early on when he declared himself a pro-life Democrat, which in mid-Michigan is not the way to win a Democratic primary. And he's actually even gone during the primary and, you know, made his economic presentation to Tea Party groups. And of course, Tea Partiers aren't going to vote in the Democratic primary, especially when we have a competitive Republican primary and one of their own, you know, in the race. So he's not just tactically, he's not doing himself many favors. Eric Schertzing is the Ingham County treasurer, and he was sort of brought in by Democrats kind of at close to the last minute because they felt he was a more competitive candidate than the others in the race. And if we see a situation where, you know, like we saw in the 11th congressional district a couple of years ago when Congressman Thad McCotter imploded, that they wanted to be ready with a competitive Democrat, you know, should somehow the 8th, which is a Republican district, turn into the race. And there's also an attorney, Jeffrey Hank, who's running as kind of a centrist Democrat as well.
Are any Democrats worried about Mark Schauer's coattails not being long enough?
Yes. That right now in this election, you know, that we'll hear a lot of discussion about persuading voters, but the big question is whether Democrats can persuade their own voters to get out and vote in similar numbers as they do in presidential elections, as they did for Barack Obama in the last election. And that's basically the game. It's going to all turn on Democratic turnout and whether or not you know, they get out and vote, because we know that Republicans will very likely turn out, and there are concerns that Mark Schauer is not the person to convince those Democrats to get out and vote, and that's the selling job that he has to do to his party's base.
MERS News reported yesterday, Rick, that a handful of county Republican parties in Michigan are cutting back on the number of delegates that would represent them at the party convention later this summer. They report that Ingham County, for one, is trimming about 80 slots, going from 467 to about 380 openings. What's going on here?
Well, on the one hand, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of precinct delegate positions in the state, and they are actually on the August primary ballot, even though a lot of people aren't even aware of it. And most of the time, they just go vacant. And so these county parties, these local parties, are saying that basically it's delegate management. You know, people can still run for them. There just aren't going to be as many out there. The sub-story, though, to that is that a lot of this is about Governor Snyder, establishment Republicans, and convention management, especially when it comes to ensuring that Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly gets put back on the ballot, that the Lieutenant Governor, like the Attorney General, like the Secretary of State, like the MSU Board of Trustees, and a lot of these other positions, they don't run in the August primary like the candidates for governor do, that they are named at party conventions by delegates who are selected at county conventions by local party officials and precinct delegates. And the, you know, team Snyder Kelly has been putting on a big effort to recruit precinct delegates to avoid some of the Wild West shows that we've had in recent years that saw Republican National Committee members from Michigan broomed out and replaced, that the state party chair Bobby Shostak barely hung on to his job based on a challenge from a Tea Party challenger. And so they are trying to take control of the mechanics of the state Republican Party to avoid those sort of big protest conventions.
We will take 1 minute to inform our listeners that you will be the chief interviewer of Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mark Schauer in an interview mm-hmm. that will originate here from WKAR in East Lansing. That is set for Friday, July 11th. We will be taking phone calls from around the state. We'll be getting mm-hmm. questions from listeners. You will be the moderator. We'll remind everybody that happens.
Mm-hmm. I will be sitting in the seat Bayshore, and I hope I just hope I'm up to it.
You will not have any problem. I can promise everyone that. That's Friday, July 11th. Michigan Public Radio Network Managing Editor Rick Pluta. Thanks, Rick.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark.